to Dillard and Wibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No Mark Willard this week. He'll be back on Monday. Dan Dibley, Mark Randy with you on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. As always, we are streaming live on Twitch and YouTube. Head to twitch.tv/957TheGame and youtube.com/957TheGame to watch us live. Subscribe to the channel for all of our content on both Twitch and YouTube, and make sure to hit the thumbs up button on the YouTube screen if you like the show. It's all powered by First NorCal Credit Union, and also if you want another place to find all of our content here on 95.7 The Game, and you're currently watching on Twitch or YouTube, whip out your smartphone and scan the QR code in the bottom right corner of the screen. That'll take you to a page where you can download our free Odyssey app, and you can get all of our content there as well, including wherever else you get your podcasts, on our website, 957thegame.com. Again, the free Odyssey app, just search for the show you want. Search for 95.7 The Game. All of it in a number of different places on YouTube, on Twitch, the app, the website, wherever else you get your podcasts. We are not difficult to find. Again, everything we do on YouTube and Twitch is powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Okay, Dibs, breaking down Niners training camp, Brock Purdy, and the big bad contract that's coming up for Brock. And I wanted to bring this up. Lost it. I retweeted it a couple of days ago, and I got to scroll through all my tweets to find it again. A
lot of tweets from the young Mark Randy.
Yeah, I was a little frustrated by what the Giants did on Tuesday, if you couldn't tell.
How you feeling now there, Mark Randy? After a Logan Webb gem. It was a Webb gem.
It was a Webb gem. I'll give you, I mean, that's kind of two.
Yeah, I was two. It's telegraphed. I'll take it two.
And it's, you know, not new. I think
it's not, but
a lot of people have thought of that one before.
They have, but when you have a pitcher actually throw 9 innings and get 27 outs, as I mentioned earlier in the week with FP in alongside Mark Randy and for Mark Willard, I think that there was, the number was 21 complete games across the entire league to date. And for Logan Webb to get one when he needed a bounce back and they needed a win, that was it was a web gem. I'm going to give myself from a 2 to a 3.
You're staying at a 2 for me. We can average out on right, 2.5 right, between the two of us.
The Russian judge gave me a 1.
He was awesome last night.
Yeah.
He was just incredible. And they needed him to be incredible because the offense is just, oh, God.
Don't dwell on the negative.
You're right.
As FP
trying to stay positive here.
The only negative in last night's game was the length of game.
You and your son.
I didn't go with him.
Oh,
he went with a good friend of his. Yeah. I got him tickets, and he chose to take a friend as opposed to take the old man.
Wow.
Which is good. And you know what? Do your thing.
That's cold.
Well, he's 21, and you know, when you're 21.
Nothing like a ball game with your old man, though.
Yes,
you know?
But you're 28, and so you're in a spot where now you've kind of circled back to where fathers, and you're different, because I think you and your parents have always been super close from what you've kind of told me. But my son, we're close, but at 21, you have a chance to either go with a really good friend or go with the old man who's kind of a mouthy know-it-all. You go with your friend, and I
good
get
point.
It.
Yeah. Good point.
I mean, would you want to go with me or go with your dad?
Oh, of course, my dad.
Well, you answered too quickly.
Before you even gave me the other option, I was already.
No doubt.
I was already.
It was, you know, me or Lucas would be the real test because, you know, you sit with Lucas 20 hours a week.
Lucas in there right now. I can't even see him.
I can't see him.
I know
him
what
either.
Willard's talking about. Yeah, I can't even
totally.
See him.
Totally.
He's not even. Oh, there's some movement back there. He's back there.
There's some movement.
Yeah,
anyway, the only problem, and it wasn't a problem, and I'm really being facetious, but. What was it, an hour and 50?
Hour 55, I think.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
I mean, that's so fast.
I remember one game I went to, it was 2010. My uncle drove up. He's in Santa Cruz. My uncle drove up, took me to do a game. And it was early into Buster Posey's like explosion onto the scene, 2010. So it must have, actually, it was probably around my birthday. It's probably why it happened. So it was probably in May, maybe late May, early June. I go to a game with my uncle, and it was Buster Posey was in the middle of, oh, he's this rookie. He's hitting like 400. He's in this crazy hit streak. He gets called up to the bigs, and he's just on fire. He's getting a hit in every single game. And the one game I happened to go to, the hit streak must have been, I don't know, close to 20 games or something. He did not start. It was against the Marlins. Ricky Nolasco was pitching, I remember.
Wow.
And I think Ricky Nolasco threw a complete game one hitter, And the only hit was not by Buster because he did not start, but he pinch hit. He came in and got out. So not only did I see a game that didn't even last 2 hours before the pitch clock, but I also saw Buster Posey only get one at bat and snap his hit streak to begin his career. I will always remember that game because it was the game I felt like I did not get my full due. I did not get what was owed me when I went to Oracle at that point, AT&T Park, to watch a baseball game. So it's kind of similar to last night, although at least last night the Giants won.
Yeah, 1-0, and you know, you get to see a complete rarity in Major League Baseball, which was not only a complete game, but a complete game shutout. And Logan Webb got into a couple of jams in the first and then in the fourth, and you know, multiple base runners in those innings, and found a way to scratch and claw and make it happen. So much needed victory for the Giants in a spot for Logan Webb where he desperately needed to come through with a good performance.
Yeah. Yeah. We can get to that a little bit more coming up. I do have, I think, more to say about Logan Webb. He's just a gamer, and the game needs more players like Logan Webb. We got Larry Kruger coming up in 20 minutes to talk Niners training camp. And we've been talking a lot about Brock Purdy's interceptions at training camp, his big contract coming up. And I wanted to share this with you before we move on any further. This is something I saw on Twitter earlier this week. And this is from Tyler Webb. Tyler Webb on Twitter. It's a really good piece of information here. This is a list of the highest cap hit percentages to win a Super Bowl. And this is among quarterbacks. Generally speaking, highest cap hit on every team, a lot of teams, especially teams that are in the Super Bowls, are going to be quarterbacks. So the highest cap hit percentages to win Super Bowls, highest percentage of a singular player's contract salary for that year divided by the entire salary for the entire team. Patrick Mahomes, most recent year, the highest cap hit percentage to ever win a Super Bowl. His cap hit last year was about 23%, 22.7%.
Yep.
The next highest, Tom Brady back in 2021 with the Bucks, 13.7%. Then Tom Brady again, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning.
So we went from 22, almost 23, down to 13?
Almost 14, correct.
Wow.
So there's only been one instance in NFL history where a quarterback with a cap hit larger than 14% of his team's entire salary cap for that entire year was higher than 14%. Only one time in NFL history. And Brock Purdy obviously is nowhere near 14% of the Niners cap right now, but when he signs that mega extension deal, he will be well over 14% of the Niners cap. And just in terms of historic numbers, just in terms of these numbers, the analytics, they say that it's very, very rare for a quarterback that takes up that much of your team's cap to win a Super Bowl. The only one to do it is arguably the greatest quarterback to have ever lived, Patrick Mahomes.
That's a really interesting stat, especially as I look at SpotTrack and the current average percent of the cap at signing numbers. And I'm looking at it right now, and there are no fewer than 18 quarterbacks
yep.
who are taking up more than 16% of their team's cap. So unless Brock Purdy wins the Super Bowl, or unless one of these other guys like Baker Mayfield or Geno Smith, the Shoe down in Vegas, Gardner Minshew, Trey Lance, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud. CJ Stroud's an interesting name. He's only taking up 4%
yep.
of their cap.
Sam Darnold, maybe he wins
Caleb
the job in
Williams,
Minnesota.
Anthony Richardson, Jaden Daniels out with the Commanders. My point is, it feels like this trend is really kind of turning itself on its head. And I think about the Green Bay example, and I continue to use this as an example ahead of their potential run this year because Jordan Love is now absorbing, what, 23% of the Green Bay Packers cap?
I'm looking at here, 21.53.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah.
So he's 21.53, a fifth
21.
Of their cap. Thank you. That's my kids hate when I do that. Dad, you don't know 21 Savage. 21. I just like the way he does that. But he is almost 22% of their cap. And all these other names, Burrow, Allen, Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Mahomes, Hurts, Calamari, all these guys, even Dak Prescott, they're all above 20% of the cap, yet one of these guys has got to win it, unless Brock does. You would figure, like going down the row, Cincinnati, Buffalo, those are playoff teams you would think. Chargers should be, Baltimore will be, Kansas City, of course, Philadelphia, Arizona, whatever, that contract was a debacle or debacle, which one you prefer. Same as Deshaun Watson. Dak Prescott's always in the playoffs. And then you get to Jordan Love and Tua. Jared Goff went to the conference championship game. So it feels more and more now like teams are going the Green Bay route. Spend money on the quarterback and find cheap receiver talent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know Miami didn't do that and Cincinnati didn't do that, but you know, Buffalo is doing that. Philly didn't do that. Maybe you can pay one receiver. I don't know, but it feels more and more like you have to spend at least 20% of your cap on the quarterback or you're stuck with Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, and this is, I think, kind of what I was trying to get at earlier. And the 707, shout out to the 707, asks a good question on the Xfinity Mobile text line. At what point did QB start taking up that much of the cap? It is a more of a recent development that the numbers are this incredibly high. Generally speaking, quarterbacks have always been paid more than every other position, but it has very much exploded for quarterbacks, and the explosion hasn't been even and proportional across every other position. So it is a little bit of a newer thing. So, for example, you go back through the history of Super Bowl champions. You don't really have anybody making, like, say, 18% of the cap back in 1980 or whatever the case was. So it's a little bit different. It's more of a newer statistic, I would imagine.
And there was no cap in 1980. So, yeah. You know, it was basically you could spend as much as you want, which is how the Niners were so good so many years in a row because Eddie D was willing to open up the wallet for everybody.
But like Peyton Manning 2016, even you go back that far, he was taking up a little less than 12% of the cap. And he was, I'm sure, I'd have to go back and look. I'm sure in 16, he was probably one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
Even though he was near the end of his career.
And
at
I
that
think
point.
Brady is on that list a number of times. And Brady would intentionally take less in
less.
Order to allow his team to spend more elsewhere, which feels like a little bit of an anomaly now. But when you look at a quarterback like Tom Brady, it would be Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers had an opportunity when he became a Jet to do something like that, and he chose to take as much as he possibly could.
Take the money and run.
And I don't begrudge any athlete for trying to get paid as much as they could or should, but the Tom Brady example is an interesting one because he did take less, and they were able to have a really good team around him.
But, yeah, good point. I think this is a little bit of an example of where when you have a quarterback like the Niners do, and the Texans fit into this category with C.J. Stroud, and say Caleb Williams is great, the Bears will fit into this eventually with Caleb Williams, all these younger quarterbacks who are currently on rookie-scale deals, when they come due for the deal and they've shown enough to where you feel like you have to sign them, like Trevor Lawrence showed enough, although maybe didn't show enough for some of us, but showed enough to the Jaguars. But I mean, again, if you're the Jaguars, what are you going to do? Not sign them, and then
exactly.
Who's going to play quarterback for you? So you're kind of damned if you don't. But unless you're Patrick Mahomes, you're almost kind of damned if you do. Because if you sign one of these guys, like Justin Herbert to, he's taking up over 23% of his team's cap. And what did they just have to do this offseason? They had to cut wide receivers. Keenan Allen, who was awesome last year and who was a Chargers legend, they had to just straight up cut him. They cut Mike Williams. That one was a little more understandable because he had a gigantic contract and can't stay healthy. But you cut Keenan Allen, and now Justin Herbert, by the way, dealing with a foot injury in camp, and he's going to be out for at least a couple of weeks. If your quarterback gets hurt when he's taking up that much money, you absolutely have zero chance. If your quarterback is healthy when he's taking up that much money, he better be Patrick freaking Mahomes. Like, that's the only example of a quarterback who's making more than 14% of his team's cap to win a Super Bowl. So it's almost as if, Dibs, you have to sign this guy because he's better than league average and he's better than replacement value for your team. And I want to not take a chance on another rookie, but the dream scenario is you win a Super Bowl when your quarterback is still on the rookie deal.
Yeah.
So I think maybe the overarching thing here that this tells us isn't necessarily that the Niners shouldn't sign Brock when the time comes. It said you better win the freaking Super Bowl this year before you start paying Brock $60 million a year and he takes up 20%+ of your cap.
Or if you don't, even if you do win it, you're probably going to say goodbye to Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and possibly George Kittle and the rest.
And maybe Mooney Ward and...
Could be. You could still spend on the defense. You just can't spend everywhere. And you mentioned the Chargers, and I thought I would look at their depth chart because you talked about Williams leaving and Keenan Allen. They both were cut or released and the rest of it. And then I look at last year they drafted Quentin Johnson.
He was a disaster for his first year.
1 year in, fine, but he wasn't in a spot where they're going to rely on him. But they used draft capital on a receiver this year. Ladd McConkey, second
Georgia.
Round. Brendan Rice, seventh round. Cornelius Johnson, seventh round. They signed DJ Chark, who's
Baby
not.
Baby Chark.
That's my daughter's favorite right now. It's number one on the playlist. But DJ Chark is a guy who you don't have to pay a ton to. And you have Joshua Palmer, who was a third round pick a few years ago. So the Chargers are turning to young receivers, a la Green Bay, rookie deals, not highly paid free agents, and thinking, okay, we have an elite quarterback. He should be able to elevate them. So instead of paying Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, you pay these guys on rookie deals and you hope that it's good enough.
You hope that it's good enough. But I'll just ask you, you will not find a bigger Justin Herbert fan in the Bay Area than me.
Evan Giddings, your roommate, your very own roommate. I mean, literally.
I saw Justin Herbert play in high school. Come on.
Boop.
Boop. I called him a couple of high school football games that he played. Yeah.
And where did he go to college?
You know where he went to college. Go Ducks. You will not find a bigger Justin Herbert fan than me, but I'll ask you, Dibs. Justin Herbert, with the current cast, and obviously Jim Harbaugh is going to do a great job and arrows up because Harbaugh wins wherever he goes. Is Justin Herbert good enough with that amount of money tied up to him alone? Is he good enough to lead the Chargers to a Super Bowl with that cast?
Probably not this year, but maybe next year. And you look at the Harbaugh trajectory, it usually takes him a year to fix the roster how he wants it. And I do wonder about Justin Herbert's fantasy football stock, because one thing we know about Jim Harbaugh is he likes to run the football. So I would imagine that they start to get a big reliance on Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins and a much more physical run-first approach. And so if you're out there looking for a fantasy quarterback, Justin Herbert, to me, would be one that I would stay away from this season, not only because he doesn't have great weapons yet, but also Harbaugh is going to try to run the ball. So you may find that they look to win games in a different way, because I look at that division and I don't think that they're going to be able to outgun Kansas City, although Kansas City doesn't really sling it like they used to with their good defense now.
But they got some speedsters now.
They do.
Hollywood,
yep.
And Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, Xavier Worthy looked good and some connections with Mahomes early on, but I just wonder about the Harbaugh way of doing things. I don't think that it is going to necessarily be like it was before he came, where they were just trying to beat you through the air.
Look at your fantasy football brain kicking in. It turned the calendar turns to August, and Div starts thinking fantasy football.
I'm ready, and I'm conflicted because our league is so shoddily run, and there's so many things about it that I really dislike, yet I'm having FOMO, fear of missing out. So
shoddily run. That was a direct shot at our director of sports behind the glass.
And I've said it to him on the air, off the air, around the air, in the air. Shout out Phil Collins in the air tonight. I've been very clear about the shaky nature and the inconsistent enforcement of rules. But even through it all, I'm in. I cannot afford to miss it. There's too much of a collegial thing here, you know, playing you and Guru and Steiny and all the rest of it. Willard, I gotta be a part of it. Lucas, don't cut me out. Come on, Luke.
Hey, if you want, if that's it, that's all I need. Yes or no,
Lucas?
That's
I'm in. Yes. Okay,
very good.
Lock it down.
Can I Venmo you? Didn't work last year.
No,
I tried
Venmo.
To Zelle. I tried to Venmo.
Zelle works.
I ended up giving him cash.
It works out too.
Cash plays. Yeah.
Okay,
always.
So
took my money right to Vegas. There's no doubt.
Did you win it?
He did. He wins all the time.
Oh, he took you. Well, the last couple of Vegas trips for Luke, I don't need to get into
the
Luke's personal business.
The only time that I am effective as a gambler is from March 14th to March
29th. Cash me out one time!
The rest of the year, I'm a hot mess. Anyway, take the under tonight.
Lock it down.
Cha-ching!
I'll gladly bet the over. And I'll be rooting for points in the freaking Hall of Fame.
I know, right? Anyway, on that embarrassment of a field.
Yeah. So, okay, going back to these cap percentages, cap hit percentages for quarterbacks. Only once, and it was Mahomes last year as a quarterback, taking up more than 14% of his team's cap, won the Super Bowl. So there's, as you mentioned, 18 quarterbacks currently that are taking up more than 14% of their team's cap going into this year. Really quickly, I'll just go through them. Burrow, Allen, Herbert, Jackson, Mahomes, Hurts, Murray, Watson, Prescott, Love, Lawrence, Tagovailoa, Goff, Stafford, Jones, this Daniel Jones, Cousins, Rodgers, and Carr. So that's the group. That's the group of quarterbacks that are making more than 14%. Their cap hit is more than 14% of the team's entire cap. And then you got a group below that, including Brock Purdy, including Caleb Williams, including C.J. Stroud, including Jaden Daniels, including Baker Mayfield, and including Geno Smith. If I were to take out Patrick Mahomes out of the equation, Dibs, take Patrick Mahomes out of the equation, and maybe this ultimately just becomes a question of, do you think the Niners are going to win the Super Bowl or not? Take Mahomes out of the equation. Does the Super Bowl champion have a quarterback that takes up more or less than 14% of the cap?
More. And I would take the field. And I knew you were going there. And even if you take Mahomes out, you're going to give me Allen and Jackson and Hurts.
And Burrow.
And Burrow. And
Jordan, I mean, Love.
Love and Goff, fine.
Tagovailoa.
So basically it comes down to the Niners in Kansas City or the rest of the league for the most part. Other than Houston, you would get.
Yeah, you feel like the only quarterbacks that have a real shot to win the Super Bowl that are making less than 14% of the cap are Brock Purdy and the Niners and then C.J. Stroud and the Texans.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to put it. And, you know, Caleb Williams in Chicago, they could be better. I still don't think that they're even a playoff team. So, and you can have Bryce Young. You get Trey Lance and Zachy
Bryce
Poo.
Young definitely winning a Super Bowl.
You
get
Zachy Poo Wilson in Denver. If
what
he
about
even wins
Gardner
the job.
Minshew?
I love the shoe, but I don't like Vegas's chances of even being higher than third in their own division. So if you take Mahomes out, I'm still taking the group of 17.
History would say it doesn't work out that way.
Right, but history, I think, is not indicative of where we are in the NFL now, where even though these quarterbacks make a ton, they're now building their teams in different ways.
Yeah.
You know, using the rookie deal, they're weaponizing teams with their rookie deals, Green Bay and the rest of them.
Just for the sake of the argument and to put a little skin to the game, I'll take the other side of that, and we'll check back in February. But, of course, we're taking Kansas City out of the equation, so maybe it's a push anyway, and the Chiefs go three-peat. We'll find out. All right, time for a break here on Willard and Dibs. On the other side, Larry Kruger, who's been covering training camp. Of course, he's been down there in Santa Clara for every single second of Niners camp. It's an off day today. We'll pick his brain about some of the bigger stories going on down inside of Niners HQ. That's coming up on the other side. It's Willard and Dibs. Grandy in for Willard. So Dibs and Grandy with you on 95.7 The Game. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. More Willard and Dibs next on 95.7 The Game.